The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. It settles in your soul. Good morning, everybody. This is Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading at the KCNR studio, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. It's your talk radio. You can stream it or podcast and worldwide at KCNR1460.com. So this is Terry Raposa. My friend, when Carpenter must have got stuck in traffic, it's kind of been one of those mornings. I'm here with Liam. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, there I am. I'm doing good. I'm running the board today.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just lean back and relax. And on the line, we have Senator for the 1st District in the state of California, Brian Dalion. And Brian is running for governor. How you doing, Brian?
Good morning. Terry, how are you doing?
I'm Thanks doing good. So far, no one's hurt me yet. I know you know that feeling. So how are you? Tell people a little bit about yourself here for the first couple of minutes.
Well, first off, you should know, Terry, that my family, actually my grandfather came to California during the Great Depression in 1929. He was a World War I veteran. He found out that they were giving out land grants in Siskiyou County. And so he put his name in a pickle jar, and they drew his name out. And he got an 80-acre homestead in Tule Lake, California, in 1930. So my family's been farming in California for 92 years. He purchased some property in Lassen County in 1942. When my dad passed away, Megan and I, my wife, we bought the family farm. I'm a seed farmer. We raise cereal grains for seed. I've also been elected for the last 25 years, Terry. I spent 16 years on the Lassen County Board of Supervisors as a supervisor. When I left the county to go to the state assembly, I left my county completely debt-free with our pensions funded and went to the state legislature. I served 6.5 years in the state assembly where I became the Republican minority leader trying to help elect Republicans in California. Ted Gaines, my state senator, moved on to the Board of Equalization, and I ran for the state senate, where I've served for the last 3 years and serving my 4th year in the state senate. So I've been 10 years in the trenches in Sacramento, and I'm running for governor. Now, why am I running for governor? I want a better future for the reason I got into politics is I want a better future for my neighbors and for my family. Obviously, California is a very large state, and the one-size-fits-all legislation that comes out of Sacramento doesn't typically work for the North State. Over my 10 years in the legislature, I've had, obviously I'm in the minority as a Republican. You cannot pass any laws or help your constituents out unless you get Democrat votes. And so I've had 127 legislators to our district over the last 10 years, educating them on the watershed, fire, our way of life in the North State. And I've actually went to their districts as well and tried to find out where areas we have things in common. So I've been in the trenches, but I just want to share that Gavin Newsom is, he's even out of touch. He's an elite Democrat who is out of touch even with his own party. He's the type of guy that will tell you that you need to wear a mask, but he won't wear one. He'll tell you that you can't have firearms, and he has people around him with firearms protecting him every day. But he doesn't understand what normal people in California are going through. He doesn't understand that a gallon of gas at $6 is destroying somebody who's on a fixed income or an hourly wage earner. And so the policies that he's for aren't matching up with California. So that's why I'm running for governor. We're seeing a red wave come across our nation. We're going to see it here in California. And so I was endorsed by the California Republican Party, the first time our party has endorsed a candidate for governor since 2006. So I'm on the ballot this June. We need to get out the vote. There were over 2 million Republicans that didn't vote in the recall election, and we need to make sure we get out and vote. So, Terry, that's a little bit about me. Obviously, you know, you've been hosting debates since 2011 when I first met you. We have a conversation, I guess, questions that you want to talk about.
Yeah, I think that we're going to let the folks call in. I know when I talked to your son, Reagan, very nice young man, by the way.
Thank you.
I talked to him, and he said that you preferred Q&A, which I thought was good. You know, I think a lot of times the heavy lifting is done in Q&A. So if anybody has a question for Brian Daly, you can call in at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. I guess my first question is what do you see the most glaring problem in California, and what's your solution for it?
Well, the number one thing, Terry, that's impacting people in California is we've had 25 years of one-party control. We've had 25 years of Democrats running the state assembly and the Senate, and we've had the last 12 years of a Democrat governor. And so we're under a state of emergency right now. I don't know if you're still aware of that. We're under a state of emergency. So Gavin Newsom basically has power to do whatever he wants. He's doing no-bid contracts, and he's the reason that a lot of bad things are happening in California. He's the reason that gasoline is almost 2 gallons higher than it is in other states. You should know that cost of living is destroying families right now in California. You know, people are leaving our state, and that's the number one thing is inflation is pretty much. Number two, crime is running rampant in our state. We had Proposition 47, which Gavin Newsom supported. He also has the ability to appoint the parole board, and his parole board has been letting out criminals out of prison on the early sentence releasing program that they put forth. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a shooting in Sacramento where 6 people died. And while we're under state of emergency and Gavin Newsom is on vacation outside of our country, so there's no need that we need to be in a state of emergency right now. We need the legislature back engaged in what's happening in California. And we've been shut out underneath this state of emergency. So crime, inflation, homelessness obviously is a problem, education. Those are the top 4 things that are priorities for Californians. The other couple things that I'm focused on and always have been focused on is our water supply and fire. Those things are destroying our
Brian,
ecosystem.
Brian? Yeah. Somebody has their radio on in the background. Is that the caller? Somebody has their radio on in the background.
I don't. This is Nick.
Yeah, I know. Well, hang on a minute, Nick. Let him finish. Okay, anyway. All right, Brian, go ahead, buddy.
So I've always been focused on, you know, the environment. And in the last year, we had
the largest
fire in the state of California, Dixie, with the Dixie fire.
I got cut off or something.
The Caldor fire as well. And, you know, Terry, the policies that have put us in this position is we've fought fire or put out fires for the last 100 years, and that's not natural. Fires naturally thin our forest, so we need to aggressively thin our forest. We need to step it up. This is impacting our watershed and, quite frankly, the environment. It's releasing carbon, which we are trying to focus on. So those are the top 6 things that are impacting Californians. But mainly the biggest challenge is that we have a one-party control for the last 25 years and a governor that's out of touch with folks.
Right. We do have a caller on the line. Nick, are you still there?
I'm still here. So
okay.
But we're getting through. Brian, I've got a slogan, an idea that'll vault you into the governorship with no problem. I think that you've got the cure at your fingertips for DUIs in California. All you've got to do is buy everybody a self-driving Tesla. Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here, Nick.
You don't like that idea.
No,
Brian?
I'm just...
Nick, sometimes the caller can't hear the other caller.
Yeah, and that's...
So maybe that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, and
we're getting serious feedback. We're getting serious feedback from one of you guys. Whoever has a radio on needs to turn it off because it's interfering with what's going on. Sorry about that.
Okay,
well, here's my serious question.
Okay.
Brian, if you get to be governor, Terry, or you go back to senator, I'd like you to introduce some legislation to get rid of the winner-take-all electoral college for California. We've got 52, I believe, electoral votes, and I think 90% of the California land mass votes conservative. So I'd like to see if you could do something about that. That's my question, and have a great day.
Okay. He was talking about the electoral college in the state of California and having that. Sorry you couldn't hear that. We have, for some reason, something happened on those phone lines. Are you still there, Brian? I apologize for that.
Yes, I can hear you, but I can't hear anything else.
That's okay.
That's fine. That's typical for these phone lines here for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason we have a little issue here this morning, but you can pick that up with Carl when you talk to him. Anyway, Wynn does have a question. So what was your question, Wynn?
Well, did he get to hear Nick's question?
Go ahead and repeat it if you want.
Well, Nick wants to know if you're going to be able to do anything about the electoral college votes here in California. As a governor, would you be able to do anything through veto power or anything like that, or would you have to work with legislature to make
question.
That work?
I've often thought we should not have our state as a block, that no matter, you could split up your electoral college, but that would have to be put on the ballot, and that would have to be done at the state level. So, yeah, it would have to be a proposition. But I think that's a great question because, you know, California has a lot of conservative folks that would vote different in a presidential election, but all of our electoral college votes go in one block. So, yeah, that's an opportunity to put something on the ballot, but we have to gather the signatures to do it.
Okay, perfect. And then but before we do that, we would have to clear out all these damn Dominion machines and clean up our voting here in California before anything like that could ever be put out there so that it's a fair assessment of what the people really want. Okay, now my question to you is, what will you be able to do as a Republican governor versus the whacked-out legislature? What would you be able to do? I mean, because you've been in the minority forever, and that's just the way it is right now in California, but what will you be able to do? Will your hands be tied? Will you be able to skirt around it? What will you be able to do to help the majority of the Californians that are red, like you mentioned a moment ago? You look at all the counties, except for the coastal line, what would you be able to do to help everybody else out?
Well, that's the greatest question. Thank you for that, and because there is a lot I can do. So as the governor, you're one-third of the budget process. So the governor, just a couple of weeks ago, you heard about the May revise, which we found out that we had $97 billion in surplus, which should be given back to you, by the way. But let me answer the question. The budget comes out by the governor. He proposes a budget. Then the legislature haggles over the budget, which they propose. So you're one-third of the budget process, number one. Number two, the governor gets to appoint all the appointed positions on our government. So the Secretary of Resources, the Secretary of Agriculture, all those appointments in Health and Human Services, Parole Board, all those appointments come by the governor. The California Public Utilities Commission, so there are key appointments, and there are literally hundreds of them, and they come through the Senate. We get to vote on them, but the governor gets to appoint those. So can you imagine a Secretary of Resources actually understands that we need to build water storage in California, and then that agency, we would start pushing those projects forward. So the head of all those agencies are appointed by the governor. So that's a very critical thing that most people don't understand that the governor gets to do. The other thing the governor has, which is great in California, is the veto. You can veto a bill and kill those bills. And the only way that you can't veto a bill is if it has a two-thirds vote, that the legislature can then override the governor's veto. So we're going to see a red wave in California. We're going to pick up seats in the Assembly and the Senate. And most Californians aren't aware that 35 legislators are leaving the legislature, Democrat, Republican, in California. There's a whole bunch because of redistricting. There's a lot of members that are moving on. So we're going to have a fresh group of legislators. Under Proposition 26, I know I'm getting a little bit detailed, but I think people need to understand
how much a governor
can actually do. Under Prop 26, you used to have two-thirds to pass a statewide budget, and that was changed. And so now you only need a simple majority. So you need 41 votes in the Assembly, 21 votes in the Senate, and you need the signature by the governor. So whatever amount of Republicans I have, so let's say that we have, hopefully after this election, we have 23 or 24 in the Assembly, and we have 11 or 12 in the Senate. So now you just have to find those few legislators, and there are some moderate Democrats, Valley Democrats that are in the Valley, and some of the coastal ones where there's farming communities, they are moderate, and they align a lot with Republicans. Unfortunately, they don't have much of a say in California because it's so lopsided with Democrats that they're forced to not even vote for their district. So I would be able to negotiate with those Democrats and to get to the 41 and actually change a lot of policy in California. And so another thing that most constituents don't know is there's budget trailer bills. So there's a budget passed, and there's trailer bills that come through that actually fund the issues. For example, we have a natural resources budget that puts, hundreds of $1 billion in for fire suppression and fire in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's actually trailer bills that fund those. In those trailer bills, they put policy in those, and they go through. So we'll have the ability to do the same thing that the Democrats have been doing to us for years. We'll be able to actually put policy in those trailer bills and get a lot done. So the governor has a lot of power, and that's exactly why I'm running for the top spot. And if there's a year to do it, it's this year. We have we've seen Virginia flip from Democrat to Republican. We've seen a school board in San Francisco swap out, and because of critical race theory. So there are really about five things that are happening in California and across our nation. We have crime running rampant. We have inflation. We have the Hispanic vote in California is leaving the Democrat Party. These are working people. They're small business owners, and they're understanding that they typically align with Democrats, and they're coming to our party. You also have the mama bears. I'm going to give you some statistics that will blow your mind. 27,000 students left L.A. Unified School District. Now, they didn't leave California. They just left the school district because parents found out during the pandemic what their kids are being taught or
yep.
not taught,
yep.
and also want them to learn. And so you're going to see a wave in California. And Gavin Newsom gives me material every day to talk about. The guy is so out of touch with everyday normal Californians. It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Independent, or Democrat. You typically want just a better life for your family.
Amen. Hey, Brian, on that note, I wonder what the ratio is to the 27,000 out of the millions down there versus what happened here in Shasta County. I bet our ratio is even higher. So, because as far as the kids leaving the public school, and on that note, one of the moms wants to know, where do you stand with, supporting, keeping everybody safe in the regard of, not being forced to do these darn mandates with vaccines and so forth? Where do you stand with all that garbage?
So I have a great voting record for that. First of all, I am for choice. Parents need choice. I voted against Dr. Pan, Senator Pan ran two bills, 277, SB 277 and SB 276. Both bills were requiring parents to have immunizations and vaccines. This was before the pandemic, and I stand with parents in choice. Look, I believe that it's your health is between you and your doctor when it comes to it's no secret. I'm not vaccinated because I got COVID and my doctor said you have the perfect immunization. So I believe it's between a parent and your doctor. And so that's where I stand. And I have a voting record to say that. Now, I know that some people, I missed a vote on, it was Scott Wiener's bill, the 12 and over. I wasn't in the Capitol that day. I was actually, I had an excused absence. I was out campaigning. And we don't know when they're going to bring the bills up, but I would be not supporting that bill for 12 and over to make their decision on vaccines.
So
I missed that vote. I didn't, and that's what they're probably talking about. But I have a record of supporting parents.
So then you're talking about, they're not going to be mandated to test or masking and so forth in the schools.
Or vaccinated.
Or vaccines. You're saying that
that's
freedom
I'm
of choice
I'm
by
for,
the parents and not the schools, correct?
Yep.
Okay. I just want to get that clarity because we have a lot of mama bears. You just mentioned mama bears a moment ago. We have a plethora of them here.
Boy,
that's how
Kenny.
We're doing a lot of the stuff up here. And if it wasn't for these beautiful ladies, mamas and grandmas and everybody else doing what they're doing, none of the action would be getting taken care of here. So I just wanted to let you know that so that because that's who was asking the question.
Well, I want to just make them know, let them know that Megan and I, we're parents. I have a 12-year-old daughter in school, and I might get emotional right now. To watch what happened to my daughter with just the mental health, what they've done to our kids by isolating them when their risk was so low is crazy. I was calling out, when I announced I was running for governor, I was calling out Gavin Newsom to take the mask off of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And finally they did. They finally allowed them to take them off in our schools. But my daughter was playing sports in a mask. It's crazy. They don't, their risk is very low. And so, look, I want to be safe, and I want people to still say, I've worn a mask in the Capitol, but I'm also, when I'm isolated from people, I take my mask off so I can breathe. So, but I'm for choice, and I'm for helping parents get where they want to go. I want to just take this opportunity for a minute to let people know that, you know, California's a blue state, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to beat Gavin Newsom. He is so out of touch with people, but he has a special interest helping him out. He's running ads against me right now. There's a picture of me and Donald Trump, and he says I'm for, taking away women's rights. And so he's spending $64,000 every day on ads. We can track that through the Fair Political Practices spending information. So he's trying to take me out. So I want to just give the North State folks that are listening and people all over the country that are listening to this broadcast that I need your help. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I need people to donate $1 a day. I ask people to donate $1 a day, a third of the cost of a cup of coffee, 1/6 of a gallon of gasoline in California. If I had 200,000 people in California, 0.5% of the people of California donating $1 a day, I would have enough money to run ads against Gavin Newsom in Los Angeles on TV where I need to be. I need to be messaging. So you can go to briandahle.com. That's briandahle.com. And you can put your credit card in. And for 1 year, I ask you to just donate $1 a day. And then tell 10 of your friends to do the same thing. And if we had 200,000 people, I would be able to go get my name out there. Why did Arnold Schwarzenegger win in the recall? Because everybody in California knew who the Terminator was. Why did Donald Trump win as president? Because everybody knew who Donald Trump was because of his business and because of his TV shows. So I have a challenge in California. If we want a legislator and a Republican to win in California, we have to get our message out. And I have to be able to combat the lies he's putting out against me. So I ask you to do what's good for your kids and the future of California. Is you need to donate and help me get my message out and tell your friends and show up to vote. Please go get your ballot and walk them in however you feel safe getting them there to make sure we get them counted. We will have poll watchers at every single poll in California watching, and we will be tracking, and we have an opportunity to beat back Gavin Newsom and this one-sided, lopsided Democrat Party in California. They are elitist Democrats that are out of control in Sacramento.
Isn't that the truth? We do have a caller on the line. Jimmy, we're having telephone problems here, so I don't know if Brian will be able to hear, so if you could make it quick. And Liam, also, we're going to go past that 9:30 point. Okay, so Brian, you can stay on a few more minutes, but if you have a quick question, if he can't hear it, we'll go ahead and relay it. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I'll take my answer on
sure.
The air. Now, I heard they are closing down Susanville Prison. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's going to totally exacerbate the crime on the streets in California if they have to release all those prisoners, and not to mention be catastrophic for the financial well-being of Susanville and surrounding communities. Now, what would Brian, if he planning on doing about the crime such as that and trying to remedy things like Prop 47, and especially if this happens, if Susanville closes? And that's pretty much my question.
Okay, thank you, buddy. Could you hear any of that, Brian?
No.
Okay.
I didn't hear anything.
Okay, the question was that the caller wanted to know if the prison in Susanville is shut down. I believe it is, isn't it?
No.
Not yet.
Well, they shut down part of it.
Part of it, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is he wants to know how you're going to combat 47 because Prop 47 because of the catastrophic crime that it's going to create.
And just so you know, we know that part of the prison is closed down because all those prisoners come to Reading.
Yeah,
we know that.
So we have 90. I want to say, as governor, I will put violent criminals back in jail, and I will appoint a parole board that will not allow them to be released early. And then number two, we will push for legislation, which we've been doing. As Republicans, we brought forth legislation. Did you know that you can rape an unconscious woman and sex traffic women in California, and it's not a violent crime? We brought a bill to the Public Safety Committee. Megan and I co-authored it with Shannon Groh, who is a senator from Bakersfield, to stop allowing to make it a violent crime if you sex trafficked a woman. Or if you raped an unconscious woman in California. Proposition 47, which was titled as the Safe Schools and Neighborhoods Act, actually allowed them to be able to do that. So I want the people to know I will put the violent criminals back in prison. We will we can do this through legislation. We can we'll put forward, and we will be able to veto these bad bills that come forward and support bills that are good to help stop crime. At the end of the day, you cannot let criminals out. And Gavin Newsom, in his budget, when we have $97 billion surplus, is proposing to shut down 3 more prisons and let 76,000 prisoners out on our streets. So I think what people really need to understand is that shared earlier, you have to come alongside me and support me. You need to get out to vote, because you cannot take 4 more years of Gavin Newsom. And you're going to get about 10 months of him if he's elected, and he's going to be running for president of the United States. What he's doing right now.
Good
and
luck
he's not
on that.
Focused on California. He's been given everything in his life that he's been given. His seat on the San Francisco board, he gave to the lieutenant governor, and he was given this job. He doesn't understand how to put food on the table. I've worked for wages before, and I'm a farmer, I'm a small business owner, I'm a parent, and I've been in the legislature, and I've been working at this for a long time. I know how to make California a better place. We need to audit our EDD system. We need to have an app that you can just go online and take care of your DMV issues. Those are all things I'll be pushing for. We need to make the government more, we need to stop growing it, and we need to be more efficient at it, and that's the things that I did in Lassen County, and those are the things I'll do when I become your governor. I just want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to come on.
Sure.
And I just ask people to go to briandaly.com, share it out. This is truly a historic moment. I've been endorsed by the California Republican Party. We just need to get out the vote. After June 7th, if you select me, it'll be Gavin Newsom and I, and there couldn't be a better contrast in California between two guys running for the fifth largest economy in the world. And I want to just say this. As California goes, the nation goes.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't stop it here, no matter, I know there's people that talk, I'm going to Idaho and I'm going to Nevada. And let me tell you something. If we don't stop it here, it's coming to you wherever you go. So we need to stand up for the future of California. It's a wonderful, beautiful state. It's got the right climate. It's got all the assets you need to be the fifth largest economy in the world, because it has all the right to climate, it has entrepreneurs, and there's people who love California like myself. I want to carry on in California. I don't want to leave. I'm not planning on leaving. I'm going to stay and fight, but I need you to come alongside me. I need you to donate to my campaign at least $1 a day. If you can do more than that, it would be great. Tell your friends. And Carl, Kevin, it's Carl on my phone, because this is the number I call for the...
Right. The no problem.
Anyway, Terry, I really appreciate you
allowing
me time. I'm gonna go to my home church today. I'm back in Beaver. I haven't been here for 3 weeks. I'm gonna go see my pastor and my group of people that have covered me in prayer for all these years. I'm gonna go look at my crops, and I'm gonna head back to Sacramento tonight. I probably won't be back until after the primary. So I came to the Norm State. We were in Siskiyou County last night. I was 3 days in Southern California, San Diego, and Orange County, because that's where I need to let people know who I am. And I need the resources to let them know who I am. So God bless you guys, and keep up the fight. I know you've been frustrated over the years, but we truly do have an opportunity of a lifetime if we get out the vote and we fund our races. So thank you for your time.
Well, Brian, thank you, and great job. I mean, you really got a lot of information out there. Remember, folks, you can share this. Go to the archive. The archive will be up 5 minutes after this program is over. So you can go to that and share this program with your friends. Brian, great job, buddy. And
thank you. Remember, they can go to briandaly.com.
Yes.
And it's about the future of our families and the future of California. We can rise up. We cannot take 4 more years of this crazy dictator and this party that's the elitist that's out of control. There are a lot of great Democrats out there who are coming up. Awakening up and realizing that they've been duped by their own party. It's because they're elitist, and we have an opportunity. The independents, Republicans, and Democrats come together, we can change the state.
Amen.
Take care and God bless you guys.
Okay,
thank you,
God bless you too. Time has come.
4:51.
It's time for a break.
We'll be back.
Yep.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com. We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomenon, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
I have no sound. Do you have any sound?
I do now, because I can hear you.
I don't have any sound. I have no sound.
Can you hear me?
No. Hello? Oh,
fuck. We might be live, so careful.
He doesn't have music on or anything? God, what is he doing?
Are we live? Are we live? Yes, we're live. Okay. I want to take all that equipment that's in that little room and throw it out the front step.
Yeah, I can't believe this. We can't get music. We can't really get anything.
That's how we know
now,
we're live.
And now our producer can't hear us.
Okay, we're live.
Did we just go live, Linda?
Yes.
Good grief.
We've been live.
Boy.
We're back.
Anyway, here we are. We're back.
We're back.
Don't know what happened to music. Don't know what happened to that. Not really sure what's going on with that. But we do want to talk a little bit about something that's going to be happening on Wednesday night. We're going to have the finale. The Red, White, and Blueprint folks are having their season finale. It'll be Wednesday, May 25th at 6 p.m., and that'll be at the Riverfront Park at Turtle Bay. It's a free event. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know whether they're going to have food trucks out there or something, but they're going to have food. There's going to be food out there.
Okay, and same time, same night up in Burney at VFW Hall, 6 o'clock, you can meet the candidates.
The four candidates.
The four candidates that are running for the all-county positions.
Right, and they'll be up there, but there will be, from what I understand, there will be a little prelude to the Red, White, and Blueprint where the candidates will be speaking on the big screen. It'll be a big screen out there. It's going to be a great event. Anyway, we have that going on. It's going to be an absolutely fabulous event.
Yep.
And what we'd like to let you know is you can call in 605-4567, 530-605-4567. We think we can get one phone call at a time here.
And
I feel like I'm in a big cave with a light bulb.
What?
And a microphone. I mean,
but no electricity.
Enough, yeah, it's like,
no electricity
to run
either one of
them. Good grief. There's a whole bunch of programs going today. This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, so let's get on to what we have in front of us. We have a report. It came out. It was shared by some really good people. The Reeds are sharing all their good information out there with us. And we have a letter that came from a gentleman that worked for the Sheriff's Department that just kind of spells out everything. So, Terry, do you have a kind of a synopsis of what happened, or where do you want to start?
Well, I want to start on June 21st, 2021, because at that time there was a letter sent to the Board of Supervisors and an open statement from the Sheriff's, Shasta County Sheriff's Administrative Association Board of Officers. And it starts off with Shasta County Sheriff Coroner Eric Magrini has announced his formal resignation from the Sheriff's Office and has expressed he is set to begin duties as a newly formed Assistant County Executive Officer. So he resigns from one thing and gets a newly formed office. The county has seen fit to extend that position to Mr. Magrini despite knowledge that formal letters indicating lack of confidence in Mr. Magrini's leadership were served by both the Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Sheriff's Administration Association. The Sheriff Administration Association consists of command staff members of the Sheriff's Office, captains, and lieutenants, and does not include the sheriff or undersheriff. In short, it appears that the county feels that removing him from a poor job he was doing as sheriff and giving him even greater responsibility over the public safety budget will resolve the issues they have been advised of. And when you go back and read some of this stuff that they're talking about, breaking the law, all the different things and all the different things that Magrini had been involved in, you know, if you look at the car fire, you know, I know that Magrini at one point had said that he drove Mr. Modi back behind the car fire lines, which at that point was illegal, went behind there and helped him basically with his generator and also picked up two expensive bottles of wine, which was the one thing that Magrini actually said he was sort of felt bad about. I guess the other part was okay. But the one thing that really bothered me was the fact that when you have a situation where you have someone who's trying to maybe take the high road, like Mr. Magrini was, saying that he didn't want to move from Shasta County, he still wanted to serve the people of Shasta County. My question to him was, well, then why did you take a 30% raise or a 36% raise? Why'd you take a raise? What was wrong with the salary that you made at the Sheriff's Department? And now that you're in this new position, you're costing the taxpayers probably $300,000-$400,000 a year. I mean, how does that even equivocate in anything? What do you think, Wynn?
Yeah, I agree. And why did he not work out the problems in the Sheriff's Department? What was the problem that tripped the trigger, I guess? Were there multiple problems? Apparently there were. So why did he not address those with the people that he was working with and overseeing and responsible for? A good leader always does that. You try to figure out what you did wrong, what you did right, and try to get those things working together. Have dialogue with people, and don't be so thin-skinned that you can't take a little bit of criticism from folks. If you're truly doing a messed up job and they point that out, fix it. Do a corrective action on yourself. If you have to do something to fix it, whatever that something may be, get it done. And for that position, especially here in Shasta County, that absolutely has to be addressed. So if you're going to hold a position of authority, and especially when it comes to safety of your team and of the community, you need to get it addressed. And if you don't have the wherewithal to do that, then obviously you're not the person for the job, and clearly that was the case. But you don't just tuck tail and run and then go to another position that oversees their budget and then maybe have control of that over them as well. So who knows what all the dynamics are. I know there are a lot of dynamics in there because some of the players involved maybe are being headstrong about locking their heels in and not working with each other. I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, is that what's best for the community? Absolutely not. So they need to work through that and get it cleaned up.
We do have a caller on the line. Ron, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Gosh, I was disappointed somebody couldn't get on. Ask Mr. Dolly if he would be for the state of Jefferson. When we talked to him a long time ago, he was absolutely not for it. I just wonder if he's changed his mind. And if he's not for the state of Jefferson, because he knows we're outvoted, following through California. So if he's not for the state of Jefferson, I don't think I could put a dollar a day in it and help him, and I don't think I could vote for him. I'm waiting to talk to another candidate, some guy named Trevino. I don't really know his full name.
It's Anthony Trevino, and he will be on the program next week.
He will.
And I hope that we have the telephone issues resolved by then.
Well, I hope to shout.
Man, I'm telling you, unbelievable.
Carl Station is really having troubles, but anyway, that was going to be my question, because when he was with us at the church that shall not be named, he didn't only pick up the phone; he was the first one to do it, and he snatched up the phone. He said no, so if he's not going to be for the state of Jefferson, I don't think I could vote for him.
Well, I can answer that for you. I don't think any of these guys that are running for governor are for the state of Jefferson. I don't think any of them are, and the reason that they're not is because they're running for the state of California. They're running for governor, and I think that a lot of people believe that they can fix it and we will have a red wave. It still doesn't change the legislative body that is only 40 senators and 80 assemblymen for 40 million people. It still doesn't change that.
Unless a red wave kind of involves the legislature, which I would hope it would.
Well, it might, but it's not now. I mean, the last
right.
vote
no,
they
I
had
agree.
It was 57, what was it, 57-13 or something?
Yeah, something crazy, yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. It's like, seriously? And that wasn't good for us folks.
No.
You know, so I think that, you know, that's a good point. I don't know that any of them are. I think they still think they could save it. And they probably could if they'd increase the legislation for maybe one for every 10,000. But then you'd have, what, 16,000 representatives.
Right.
That ain't going to happen.
That's not happening because then they lose all their power.
Yeah, that's why dividing the state's the only way. So, you know, this thing about McGraney, too, Ron, I know that you've had issues, especially when he was sheriff, you had some issues. But, you know, I was reading something here, and there was a lot of complaints, and it was a document I have here by the Shasta County Sheriff's Administrative Association board officers. And part of it was in a lot of the problems that they were having, which we don't have time to get into right now, but the problems they were having, they went to McGraney, and, you know, and he just, his answer to that was Sheriff McGraney's response was, F them, they can't do anything anyway. F them, they can't do anything to me anyway. And that was his response to the people who worked with him and worked for him to in a letter that was sent to the Board of Supervisors. That was sent, and the Board of Supervisors got that. Ruben Cruz got it. Pontes got it, which I'm sure Wynn will expand into that in a bit. But Pontes got it. And, you know, that, and the thing that I want to read is, additionally, there have been serious breaches of ethical and legal conduct by Sheriff McGraney, which include, but are not limited to, the misuse of law enforcement systems, car fire, misuse of public grant funding, providing false public statements, proposing concealing documents, preventing public record requests. All of these occurrences have been witnessed by either one or more command line or support staff members. That's what the Board of Supervisors got. And their reaction was to allow Pontes, who's gone, Mr. Gontes, he's gone, but they allowed him to create a whole new position, to create more taxpayer money, to create more pension money, and to create a position that we really didn't need, never had before, and create that. Pontes did that, and they allowed him, even after getting this letter. I mean, it's unbelievable, Wynn.
Yep.
You know, so when you look at this, and of course, you know, Pontes has really been an interesting case. And the one question I have is that how did McGraney ever get Pontes, if Pontes does have a CCW, which I've heard he does, how did Pontes ever pass that background test with two felonies on his record?
Not sure. Hey, Ron, are you still there? Okay, he's gone. Okay, good. I didn't want to talk over him.
He's
well,
gone.
See, that's the thing, too. It kind of goes into the unauthorized use of law enforcement systems, 29-19-2020, according to this letter that was written by Mr. Krophaller. And, you know, the Sheriff McGraney and then the head of the Shasta County personnel, Angela Davis, who now is up in Siskiyou County, they were going through a process of looking over the applications, if you will, for people that were applying for the CEO or CAO position, the top position of the county. And in doing so, they were looking at stuff and trying to figure out who did what and so forth. And apparently, they stumbled upon the fact that Mr. Pontes had some run-ins with the law. They may not have known what the extent of it was at the time, whether he put it in his application. I don't know. It's not clear. Or whether they just found out by doing a little research. But then they also wanted to do a criminal arrest history search. It's called a criminal rap.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to go through and do that process. Well, my understanding is that they're not supposed to just do that. That's a violation of public information. It's a violation of personal information. And so, but they exercised that process because, I guess, according to this letter, Ms. Davis was running for the CEO or CAO position. So how does that work? Why would they allow her to do something like that and get themselves involved in this hot little mess? Why would they not hire a firm to do that if somebody from the top personnel position director is running for that CAO or CEO position? Why would they not work with, say, Tehama County and ask them, say, hey, we need some help. Can we do an interagency contract with you, and you can help us do a little research and do the documentation, do the paperwork? It keeps it clean. The other county would not have any skin in the game as far as who got hired or fired, or, you know, not whoever got hired or chosen for interviews or what have you. So why would they not do that? I mean, it's common sense. You do the right thing every single time. You always do the right thing because then you're above reproach. But apparently they elected not to do that. So according, and I'm just going by what was written in this letter. And so the letter is very extensive. There are, 12, 13 pages to it.
Yes.
So it's got a lot of information in it. And if you haven't seen it, please look for it. And the Reeds put it out, and it's the letter that Krafaller wrote and put together with all kinds of documentation and information that he put in there. And some of the stuff you just kind of have to it's a bitter pill, but you know what? It is what it is. You know, so we have to read it, find out what's in it, and make your own assessment.
Well, you know, we've been peeling back the onion here. The thing is that while all this was going on, who was on the board? Well, Patrick Jones, for a little of it, he was trying to vote against it, did vote against all of this stuff. But you have, well, let's see, we have Comente going. We have Baugh going. We have Rickert should be going, and Modi gone.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, and of course, Mr. Pontes, Minturn, all these people are resigning and
bailing out. Well, that's what happens when they see their gravy train drying up on them. They're gonna bail as quickly as they can. They're gonna take a retirement if they're able to. They're gonna find another job while they still are able to get maybe a letter of recommendation, or just be able to say, yeah, I'm still working here, but I'd rather move on. We're gonna relocate, whatever they're gonna do, to whatever position they're gonna go to. And why would somebody that works at the CAO's position go to another business here in the county and, you know, take a huge pay cut to go work there? What's the deal? What's the skinny? You know, there are a lot of questions about that kind of stuff, you know, that are circulating out there. And it just makes you wonder. And so when it's all said and done, the long arm of the law, if there have been laws broken by any of these people involved in all of this stuff, the long arm of the law is going to reach out and tap you on the shoulder. Doesn't matter where you are. I mean, hell, you can move to Idaho, move to Kentucky. We don't care where you move to. Guess what? The law will still come looking for you and depose you, and you'll go through the process. And if you find out that, or if we find out, or the public, as they should, find out that you broke the law, you'll be held accountable.
How is McGreeny even still there? I mean, how is he even still there? I just can't believe our Board of Supervisors. I mean, he should have been gone. He should have never been hired. I mean, gets a letter like this.
Yeah.
You know, has, you know, all the people that work for him.
What, wasn't the CAO did the hiring?
Yeah, it was Pontes.
All by him.
So I wonder,
awesome,
did,
right?
Pontes owe him a favor? Just a question. I'm not saying. I'm just asking the question.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Doesn't it make you think, folks?
That's the thing you always have to do. You have to ask questions and wonder, why is this happening? And just put it out there. and we've been doing this for a long time. So it, when we see something kind of hinky, we ask the questions like, so who owes what? Who owes who a favor? Who owes what? You know, is somebody got something on somebody? That's probably why they're doing it. Well, yes, that's why they were doing it. You know why? Because what happened with the Board of Supervisors when Pontes was hired in, at least one of them knew everything.
All of them knew it.
Well, I'm just saying, just so I don't...
All of them knew it.
At least one of them knew everything, and I bet big money, more of them knew most of it.
Oh, yeah, they had to have known it.
So then why did they hire somebody with an embezzlement felony to be the CAO or CEO of Shasta County?
Because he could build the wheel. And what happens to the wheel now?
Not
the,
only
the
that, wheel? But then they each have power over that individual. And then they can abuse it any way they want to. And that's exactly what was happening. And it's still happening. So we have to keep asking the questions every single day. Why is this happening here? And not allow it any longer. We have to clean up this mess.
You know, and talking about cleaning up the mess, the next program you need to stay tuned for, that's going to be Sovereign Minds. Richard Gallardo is going to be on. And there has been some extremely, tremendously inappropriate, illegal activity that's happened with our city council. I don't know whether Reznor was mayor or not at the time. She had to have at least been vice mayor when all these little land deals went down. Where they
she had
to,
a vote.
She had a vote, didn't she?
She had a vote.
Oh, my gosh.
She was 20% of the vote.
She was 20%.
Yeah, so yeah. It doesn't matter. There's no getting out of
so
it.
So you're against the casino moving to the freeway in such a way, a strong way, that you're willing to put yourself on the line to do something that has been ruled misconduct or, dare I say, illegal.
Right.
By blocking, by buying land in an illegal fashion. I mean, this is unbelievable. And that is all getting exposed this week. City Council, I'll tell you what.
You're on the
you know, the Tucker factor better go to 11 here.
Yeah.
You know, there's no question about that. And, you know, getting back to this thing to where we've got all this different corruption going on, I also would suggest that you listen to Matt's program this morning, Liberty Unabashed.
Liberty Unabashed, yep.
Go back there. The archive's probably already up. It was heartbreaking to hear what happened to a woman and who took her son to the hospital here locally and the misinformation she got, the runaround she got, et cetera.
Right. That was brutal.
Okay, Peter, we've got you on the line. You got like 1 minute, Peter, because we're almost done.
Listen, mate, you know, I've been going through 16 years of pain and heartache and expense and whatever else out there with the CSA 6. Jones Valley Water, another guy that's leaving is that bloody asshole Minton, that liar tyrant, the despot. But and McGreevy called up somebody that's helped us with the water with a bit of clout and threatened them with their job if they didn't back off helping us. It's time. It's great they're going, but you know what pissed me off? They're all going with their bloody retirement plans. They don't pay for anything. There's no accountability.
Well, do you know what? If criminal activities are figured out down the road, they'll lose all that.
Well, that'd be nice to see, mate. I want to see the good guys win for a change.
Yeah.
You got it.
Absolutely.
Peter.
The good guys are all us, the taxpayers.
Yep.
Yeah. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Peter.
I know that was probably, I'm sure that they're still partying at Peter's house over Minturn leaving. I'm sure he's still throwing a big party up there. Hey, you didn't invite me to your party, Peter.
He's probably not the only one.
He probably isn't the only one. I'm sure there's a lot of parties that will be happening soon. But I just can't believe, you know, we have all these, you know, when they talk about the establishment and the establishment, well, the establishment is Aaron Reznor. The establishment is the Democrat, Kathy Darling Allen. And even though some of these issues, well, you know, really and truly, they're a nonpartisan position. Well,
Baloney.
If you believe in keeping the Dominion machines, and you believe in no voter ID, and you believe that policy rules over the Constitution, then that's a Democratic move. And guess what? Kathy Darling Allen did all of that.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, we're coming near the end of our program here. We got about 28 seconds left, so we probably ought to just... Are we going to have music to go out on this thing?
Yep, there it goes.
Okay, right. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Stay tuned for Sovereign Minds.
Hey, CJ, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.